Y'all will please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to thank you all for having me out again. I got to bring my family this time. We drove up yesterday and it was a lovely drive, and you always take so good care of us. Thankful for your pastor. Miss Kathy's always looking after us, and we just enjoy our time here. I'm thankful. And all the brethren in San Diego said to tell each of y'all hello. They love you. They pray for you. And they miss you. And to those in the dolls. I was supposed to go first. That's the deal. But I'm thankful I got to come. Thank you for that message. I forgot I had to preach until about 5 minutes ago. So a couple weeks ago, we were looking through Paul's word to Rome and his word to the Ephesians and the gifts that our Lord gives some of his saints. A gift to show mercy to one another. Some gift to preach. Some to serve. All have different capacities. Not one, not all, but some. Gives us varying degrees of those. And that's to be given in a spirit of humbleness. A humbled spirit to serve our Lord, to serve our brethren. I got through preaching that, and I prayed. I said, Lord, make me humble. I want to be humble. I don't want to be puffed up in pride. Humble me. And as Paul said, he did exceedingly abundantly more than I could think or ask. He sent a trial for one of my brethren that I love. And that hurt. And then he sent me a trial. A day later sent me a bigger trial. He humbled me. And I was thankful for that. And I prayed I'd get a message for you all here tonight. I was reading Jeremiah. I have a message that burns in my bones. Not skin deep, not muscle deep. In the marrow. My old profession, I instructed a lot. And so it's my nature to have a whiteboard, dry erase board. And so my right arm goes up and I want to start drawing. As I told our brethren there in San Diego, we could cover these walls in chalkboard. And I could write an extended theological dissertation to you. Or I can get a piece of paper and a crayon and sit down with you and tell you the gospel. If the Lord don't use it to pierce your heart, Christ doesn't speak to you, it's of no effect. None of it. True preaching, a man once says, a one-way conversation from God Almighty to your heart. Speak comfortably.
Amen.
Speak tenderly and speak to the heart of His people. If I could speak to one needy sinner tonight, one sinner that's hurting, what a thought that would be. What a miracle it would be for me to witness. I hope to be a blacksmith tonight. I got one piece of hot iron. I've got one hammer, and I'm going to hit it in the same spot over and over. And I hope it's a comfort to you. There's a lot of believers we have right now in heavy, heavy trials. I don't know what you're going through. This is a message to me first. And if one of you is hurting, this is to you. It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul just got through telling us that either in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell you. He was called to the third heaven. And he was made an apostle. And he had this revelation given to him. He understood these scriptures. He wrote he labored more abundantly than them all. He wasn't bragging. He wrote the bulk of the New Testament for us. And he says, because of that, so he didn't get puffed up in the gifts that the Lord had given him. He had a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, keep him humble. It says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He didn't ask the Lord once, Lord, take this from me. Three times he came to our Lord Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh. Take this permanent trial you've given me away from me, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. During a trial for a believer, whether that's a temporary trial, it lasts a couple seconds, lasts a day, a week, or it's a lifelong trial, something in our bodies we've been given from birth, or a pain we have, emotionally or physically, whatever trial the Lord gives us. When we are brought low enough during that trial, we're humbled enough to look only to Christ, we're given rest, we're given comfort, and we're given peace during that trial. That's during the trial. It's while we're in it. We're given rest, comfort, and peace in Christ. His grace is sufficient. But after that trial is passed, once the dust has settled a little bit, once our wounds have scarred over some, calluses built up, then we're taught the lesson of the trial. Why was that trial sent to me? We're still looking to that same Jesus. Nothing's changed there, but we're matured in faith some through that same trial, but only after. Once it's not as painful to us, we're made to see that Christ's strength, His mercy, His grace, and His love towards us that gave us the trial, and His grace, His love, His mercy is what brought us through the trial.
Amen.
His grace was sufficient. He sent it, and He brought us through it. His grace is sufficient. You know what that means? It's exactly what we need. It's not lacking anything. He doesn't give us 90% grace and then you better come up with the other 10%. It's exactly what we need. It's not lacking. And it's not overly given. He doesn't just flood us with it to where we think we did it ourselves. Boy, my faith got me through that. It's sufficient. It's precise. It's appropriate, whether we think so or not. And it's right. The grace, His sufficient grace to us is right. It's a righteous work of grace in us and for us. Because the Father's love to Christ and those in Him, in a great act of grace, He was merciful to sinners. We read that as plainly as it can be read in Ephesians chapter 1. God the Father purposed a people to be saved and to be made just exactly like His Son. They're going to be holy, spotless, without blame. How's He going to do that? He's going to put them in Christ. We read in Ephesians 1, Christ died for His people. The Father purposed it, the Son purchased us. In His blood, He bought us. Holy Spirit proclaims that in our hearts. It abounds to us. I always think of the fridge, the linebacker. You ain't no getting away from them. It charges you. He said, none will come out of my hand. No man will take them out of my hand when he gets a hold of them. It abounds to us. So you who believe, why do we need trials? Couldn't the Lord just have come to us and saved us and just made us right for heaven and we didn't have to go through all this? Of course He could have, but He didn't want to. That wasn't His perfect will. He gives us trials to show us that His grace is sufficient. Trials of the body, emotional trials, trials of our mind, and trials of our souls, it shows us our weakness. How weak we truly are. Not how I think I'm weak. I'm kind of convinced I'm weak. The Scriptures say we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's my strength. I'm as strong as somebody that's graveyard dead. And He shows us that. What happened in the garden? Was Adam wounded or did he fall? At first Adam fell in the garden. And from him, our father Adam, who we're all born from, in these physical bodies, sin was imputed to us in Adam. It was imparted to us in our birth on this earth, and it was enacted in us the first breath we took on this world. We were conceived in sin, and everything I've done since then is sin. I don't just sin. It's not something we do, it's what we are. born into this world. We're weak. We're fallen. But the Lord sends us trials to show us that. And sometimes they're heavy trials. I want to put this in context. I heard a man say one time, I've known him for a long time, and he met the pastor at the back of the church on his way out the door, and he said, I thank the Lord saved me again today. And if I'd have heard that, without knowing, out of context, I'd say, uh-oh. But it was fresh again. That mercy was new again that day to him.
Yeah.
I hope it's new to me today. And so oftentimes, I put that in context first because I've said this. The Lord doesn't give you more than you can handle. In our flesh, that's flat wrong. And I'll tell you why. We can't handle anything by ourselves. We can't handle anything. He's not here just to help us out. Give us a hand. We're fallen, we're dead, and we're weak. And the Lord has to remind us of that. And some people say, well, it's not that bad. Without Christ working in you, take your next breath right now. You can't do it. He gives us life, doesn't He? Now, if we can't do that, how are we going to handle a thorn in our flesh from Satan to buffet us? How are we going to persevere through, a hard trial that just brings you to your knees? How are we going to do that? How can we engage in that battle, those two natures warring in us? We can't make it through a battle, much less the war that's going on inside of me. Without our sovereign, holy, and wise Lord ruling and reigning in our hearts. Turn to Romans chapter 5, if you will. You have an interest in the gospel. You have a heart work done and trust Christ. We rejoice in the Lord of our salvation. How thankful we are. God saved the people. Lord saved. He sent His Son for me. How thankful I am. We're reconciled to the Father that we sinned against. Christ made atonement. He made at-one-ment, reconciling me to the Father. With this knowledge of salvation in Christ alone, how often I get comfortable. I get lukewarm. I'm complacent. What a shame. What a sin against God for me to be that way. But through the trials God sends in His perfect providence, we're brought to into remembrance of our first love. Christ who died for us. Through all that, we're brought once more to see our weakness in the sinful flesh and to have our pure minds stirred up, as Peter said. And come to Christ, trusting Him alone. And that matures us in faith. There in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have boldness to come to that throne of mercy. We have access because of Him. He saved His people. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. That hardship, that pain, that suffering that we go through. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What's that trial work? Waiting on the Lord. As my pastor says, I have trouble waiting at a red light. It's to be taught to wait on the Lord. That works patience. Verse 4, and patience, experience. I've been through some trials before. I've been taught to wait on the Lord before. Been down this road before, right? Starting to learn that waiting part. And experience hope. Through the trials that expose this weakness we are, we're made to rest all our hope in our Savior who saved us, who laid down His life for us, who suffered the greatest trial we didn't know we had in our room instead. So often I think the trials I have on this life are something. As Don used to say, puppy love is real to the puppy. It's real to me. Boy, I had a much greater trial waiting me without outside of Christ once this life's over. Judgment of a holy God that I offended. He bore that trial for me. If the Lord Jesus Christ saved me from eternal damnation that I rightly deserve, I rightly earn, do you think He'll keep me through the trial on this earth that He sent? Hallelujah. We're given that incorruptible seed that trusts our Redeemer, and we will not be ashamed of it. Look here in verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, we was as weak as we could be. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We need trials to ever remind us that the love of God saved us. The love of God convicted us of the sin that we are. The love of God convinced us of Christ as the only righteousness the Lord will accept. I have none. He's the Lord of my righteousness. And the love of God warmed our souls with the knowledge that all that judgment is finished. It's not partway done. It is finished. He's satisfied. That's the two words. Substitution, satisfaction. I was ruined by the fall. I was redeemed by the blood, and the Holy Spirit regenerated me. He gave me life. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 13. For though He was crucified through weakness, through being a man made like I am, bearing that full wrath of God, yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him. For Christ's glory's sake, for our sake, we're alive in Him, but we're weak in this flesh. This flesh I'm standing talking to you in, it's weak. That I may see His power working in me. He may show us. But we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. I've been assaulted by that verse a few times. People said, you need to examine your faith. I said, I did, and I don't have any. It's the faith of Christ. Prove your own selves. I'm dead. If I have life, He gave it to me. Know ye not of your own selves how that Christ Jesus is in you, dwelling in you, except ye be reprobate. And examining ourselves, I see my lack of strength. And I see I need sufficient grace. I need Christ's sufficient grace. And you know why I need it today? Once this trial is over and I've learned something, I think I've actually, Lord's taught me something. The next trial is coming. As we age, it'll be different. This body's going to break down. Loved ones are going to die. They're going to get sick. People's going to fall away from the gospel. You think they've met with you and worshiped with you so long, and then they'll just turn on you. Yeah. To prove to us something. Trials are going to come. Our Master said in John 16, He said, these things have I spoken unto you, in that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Knowing these trials are coming, knowing this tribulation's coming, this pain, this suffering, how am I going to be of good cheer? Why would I want to be of good cheer? I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. Our Redeemer has overcome the trial. He's overcome the tribulation, overcome the world for His people. He overcome the law by fulfilling it.
Amen.
He overcomes sin by being made sin. He overcome death by dying in our place, and He overcome the grave by raising again, raising from it, and seating at the hand of His Father right now in His throne in glory. James said to count it all joy when a trial comes, because you're going to be reminded by being brought through that trial that the trial of this world has been overcome. Christ was victorious. The law, sin, death, the grave have been overcome by Christ our Lord. And that trial is what brings us in remembrance of that. What a blessing. What a blessing. We don't think so at the beginning of the trial. Most of the time halfway through the trial we don't think it's a blessing. What care and love for him to send a trial to one of his children. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just a few pages there. 2 Corinthians 4, be in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, what he just told us about. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure is given to us while we're in these earthly vessels, in these weak, frail bodies, and these weak minds. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Yet, seeing His power, though in Christ who saved us, we're not distressed. We are perplexed. We're overwhelmed. We're bewildered is what the word means. We're bewildered, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, in this body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, where He is now, the victorious Savior, might be made manifest in our body. When this life's over, I'll be with Him. He said so. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Every bit of this, all these trials, this life we go through are for your sakes. And the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
The heavier those trials get, the clearer we're allowed to see Him. He brings us to see Him. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen. That's whenever you feel it. That's the experimental side. Experiential, as the British say. You experience His grace. While you look not at the things which are seen. If I look anywhere other than Christ, I ain't looking at Christ. When I look to Him, I ain't got time to look to anything else, do I?
Amen.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What a gift of hope. What a gift of hope. Each of these things allow us to see in the flesh that our eternal hope is secure in Christ. What a privilege it is to be shown that. There's a difference between understanding and experiencing. I grew up, I was born, as soon as I can remember hearing, I was sitting in a pew, listening to faithful people preach the gospel to me. I didn't know any different. Right here, buddy, I had it. I had it here. I was 18 inches away from comfort and peace, knowing that that grace was sufficient. I understood it, but I had to experience it.
Amen.
Paul had this thorn in his side as a trial. Those three Hebrew children, they experienced the trial. Nebuchadnezzar made that golden image. And they said, you bow down and worship. I said, well, I ain't going to do that. So they drug him before Nebuchadnezzar, didn't they? What did he say to him? He said, well, ain't you going to do this? I'll kill you if you don't bow down in front of my image. And they said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer in this matter. I ain't going to hesitate to tell you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. You ain't nothing. And we know it. But if not, if He don't deliver us, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Ain't going to happen. Lord, may, if He's pleased, He'll deliver me out of this fiery furnace. We trust Him. We know Him. We're His. And if He doesn't, that's fine too. We ain't bound to your gods. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He threw those three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fire, didn't he? Consumed the men that threw them in there. And Nebuchadnezzar come out of his chair and he said, I see four. And he looks just like the Son of God. Don't say much about it. Whenever they come out, they were promoted, wouldn't they? Do you think they trusted Christ more when they come out of that fire?
Yeah.
You think they'd learned something? That His grace was sufficient? They knew it before. Boy, they experienced it now, didn't they? They saw Him clear. And old Nebuchadnezzar, his trial just started, didn't even know it. Lord, we'll do it. If you heard that message earlier today, is that the first time you've ever heard that? You're in a trial right now, might not even know it. His grace will be sufficient for that too. Noah, was given the grace and understanding to believe God and to build that ark, didn't he? To specification. He pitched it just as it was supposed to be, built it just right. Whenever he walked through that door and the Lord sealed him in that ark and the rains came, then he knew that ark would hold. He believed before. Now he's experienced when the rains come, when the floods come. Job was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And Job won. And then we all know what happened to Job. He had a rough trial. A rough trial. And then in chapters 38 through 41, the Lord spoke to Job. Lord, He talked to him. After all that trial towards the end of it. And in chapter 42 of Job, Job responds to the Lord. And he said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything. And that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I have heard of Thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth Thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. At the end of his trial, right after that, the Lord restored him. Job said, I hate this flesh. I love Christ. He took sides against himself with God. That's what happened. Before that trial came, he loved the Lord. He eschewed evil. The Lord made him experience that in his flesh. In our lives, many times we're given the sufficient grace to bear through a trial whenever we're wanting to go home. I wish this flesh would stop hurting. I wish my heart would stop hurting. And I wish the Lord would take me home right now. I'm ready. He gives us the grace to get through that trial.
Amen.
He gives us living grace. And at the end of our lives, I haven't experienced that yet. If I could imagine, I would want to stay here. Lord, I want to go home. I trust You. I love You. I got some loved ones here. He gives us dying grace then. It's sufficient while we live. It's sufficient when we die. Paul said in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Our life is Christ. Our eternal life is in Him, and our physical life is in Him. He gives us the breath we breathe. Be thankful, brethren. Being made one with Christ, we're given His righteousness eternally. He will grow us in grace while we're in this world. He gives a tree, it will bear fruit or it'll be hewn down. He'll grow us in grace. We're going to be conformed to His image for eternity. Made just like Him. While He was on this earth, my Redeemer trusted His Father. As we go through these trials, we look to Him by His faith and we learn to trust Him. He obeyed the law perfectly. As I walk through this world, I want to obey His law to not bring reproach on the gospel, not bring reproach on my brethren. David said, oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. What law was David talking about? Same one Paul was in Romans 6. He said, for we, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, not that Mosaic law, not that Levitical law, not that moral law, but under grace. I want to meditate more on that law of grace. It's in my heart all day. Be kind to your neighbor. That's okay. Tell me more about that law of grace. Christ was the fruit of the Spirit. We receive the fruits of the Spirit. He was. We want to be that way. We want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. And we can only have those things in the light of His grace towards us. His sufficient grace that gives us that. Something He endured on this earth that we don't want to is pain, trials, and suffering. Our Master suffered those. We will too. He said in John 15, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And that's not just getting picked on for what you believe. That's not always a religion thing. That's physical trials. This world persecutes. Internal trials. Inward and out. Not just the world being against you. Through the trials, we trust our Lord more. We honor Him more. We desire to be more obedient in thanksgiving, in praise, in worship, in our walk in this world. And we will be kinder. We'll be more loving. We'll be more merciful to our brethren at the end of those trials. We're taught through and from the trials that His faith, His faithfulness, and His grace is sufficient. And back in our text there in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul prayed that for the church at Ephesus. He said, "I pray that you be strengthened in the inner man." That's not that we do bunch of faith push-ups that we're just going to be bolsterous, and that's that we're drawn down. That's how we're strengthened in a manner. We're brought down in our weakness, and in this flesh is crushed, and Christ is all of our strength. He's your strength, now you're strong. Be thankful for the trials you came out of. Be thankful for the trials that you're in. And be thankful for the trials that's coming. Because you're going to see Christ's love and grace more at the end of it.
Amen.
Brother A.D. Muse was in Louisville, Kentucky. It's been about 100 years now. And a young man come to him. Some of y'all have heard this before. And he said, "Brother Muse, will you pray for me?" He's about 20-something. He wanted to be a pastor. And he said, "Well, okay." He said, "Let's pray together." Just two of them in the church. It was on a Tuesday or something. And he said, "Brother Muse, ask the Lord to give me wisdom." He said, "I sure will. Let's sit down." He said, "Heavenly Father, be hard on this boy. Send him trials. Be rough on him." And he kind of elbowed him and said, "What do you ask?" He said, "Where do you think you get wisdom from?" That's what the Lord sends.
Amen.
When we go through that, we realize what Paul wrote to us in Romans 8. We see these trials. We see the infirmities of our flesh. There wasn't another man on this earth. Me left to myself. Boy, that's a trial. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or peril?" If he loves you, He has loved you, and He will forever love you. I got this out of Brother Clay's bulletin from yesterday, but John Bunyan wrote about those 12 years he spent in prison. He said, I never had in all my life so great an insight into the Word of God as now, insomuch that I have often said, were it lawful I could pray for greater trouble for the greater comfort's sake, for the comfort that comes with it. When we see Christ, when we're made to look to Him and see that His grace is sufficient for temporal things and especially for eternal salvation, what comfort and peace is experienced? What comfort and peace is experienced? I pray that His children will experience that His grace is sufficient. Amen.